thought of being a mindset of not being alone, mindset of getting to heaven, being with God forever, also the continue every day here on earth should be a mindset that truly we're not alone here. God is always with us. We know that our Lord and Savior resurrected from his death. Though he ascended into heaven physically, spiritually, he's always here to give us strength and guidance as we live from day to day. And as we go about our lives every day, we need to make sure that we are prepared to go forth and do the work that God has put forth for us. And so therefore, I want to start off reading this evening in Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 37, Romans 8, and looking at verse 37. It says here, it says, "Know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." Paul wrote this again. He makes that point of we are more than conquerors. Conquerors. That's what I kind of want to talk about this evening, being conquerors, and of course here, beyond that, and what we are as we follow our Lord and Savior, as we are soldiers of Christ. And of course, he writes through those in Rome here, as we read through this letter. And of course, certainly they would understand being conquerors, as he writes to them, as their empire has done so much conquering and in warfare and battle and taking captives and just all that they had done. And so he takes that mindset for us spiritually, talks about what we've gained as we come into our Lord and Savior through Christ by being conquerors. How often we think about that as Christians, the mindset that we have conquered something, that we giving ourselves over to God, our conquerors. So we'll look at that mindset, overcoming the wall of sin, and to a mindset as we think about battle, we think about warfare, being soldiers of Christ. You know, we are to overcome sin. That is what we're truly fighting against as we go forward today. And I know that I can list a bunch of verses going forward talking about how it is that what we are in warfare. We know we go to Peter and talk about Satan being like a roaring lion, or we could go to the beginning of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be turning there here shortly in the lesson, but the beginning part, not really focused on in the text that I have in the PowerPoint. So, if you will, verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh, blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. The fourth tells us the things in which we are to overcome. Satan is out there, the prince of this age, the god of this world. Certainly enemies of God. And those who would follow Satan, those who would go towards his path, again, that they are with him. For Jesus says he was not with me, it was against me. Or we go to James 4 and verse 4 and see adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? But we all have our own spiritual battle, also to the point of overcoming our individual sin, overcoming our individual temptations. That's really where we have to start in order to enter into the army of God. To be enlisted into his army, to become part of soldiers in Christ. We have to overcome sin. We have to overcome, we have to breach this wall. We have to make sure we become joined with our Lord and Savior. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Verse 1, Isaiah 59, verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear." Everybody's out, our sin separates us from God. Our iniquity, our sin, when we fall short, again, it's not that God can't hear you. It's not that God doesn't know what you are doing.
dead to the God. So therefore, we need to overcome sin.
We need to know what it is we need to do in order to be saved. The Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9, in order to be part of God's army, in order to be followers of the Lord,
we must obey Him.
Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 9, it says, being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him.
Here it brings out that we must be faithful to our God. We must obey Him in order to receive His salvation.
And the Word of God is here for us. It gives us commands. It tells us what we need to do in order to overcome this sin. To conquer, to be conquerors. To put Satan behind us when all has sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means Satan is victorious so often. How often Satan wins battles?
Understand, he's not going to win the war.
He will be cast into eternal torment because that is what hell was prepared for. Hell was prepared for Satan and his demons, his angels.
And those who get caught up and fall on his path get thrown in there with him.
But he does win battles. He often causes men and women to fall into temptation, and He wins those battles.
As Satan is trying to tempt you, God is allowing it to test you, and we must overcome.
And our Lord gives us that path. He shows us what we need to do. He tells us what we need to do in order to receive the forgiveness of sins in Acts 2 and in verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. As it reads here, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
And we must be baptized. We must repent of our sins and be baptized. And that is how our sins are washed away.
Again, this is how we're added to the Lord's army. As we go to verse 27, as we read here, it says, praise God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the number day by day those who are being saved.
Again, when we talk about the church, the Lord's church, it goes by a variety of different things. There, when we talk about the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's church, the bride of Christ, they also point out that we are also the army of God.
We are soldiers of Christ, and we have to be prepared. But the only way to enter into this battle on the Lord's side, on the right side, we must become followers of Christ.
The only way to do that is to obey, because He is in command.
He is in charge. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And therefore, He is in charge. He is the one we must follow.
So when He points the way, we must go.
So as we enter into the Lord's army, He doesn't leave us to fight by ourselves, to leave us alone with nothing, to defend ourselves. He gives us weapons of warfare. He gives us weapons that we need to use in order to go out and to fight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and reading here in verse 3, it says, for though we walk in flesh, we are not waging war according to flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind him that just as he is Christ, so also are we. Here's weapons of warfare. Here's what we need to have. Weapons that have divine power.
What is that? That's the Bible. It truly is. Everything we need is found in the Bible.
Paul said he is not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power unto salvation. Right? And so you go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we list, and you read through it here, you list the armor of God, Ephesians 6, and in verse 13, as you read here, it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, as you look at all those things, you will get the belt of what? Truth.
Where do we find the truth? Well, Christ is the truth.
Christ is the way.
How do we find out about it? It's through the Bible.
Breastplate of righteousness. How do we know what righteousness is? How do we understand how to be righteous? How to gain righteousness? How to walk in righteousness? Again, it's all found in the Word of God.
Preparation.
The shoes that we wear, shod in your feet, preparation of gospel of peace. Again, the term gospel coming through the words of God, the good news of our Lord and Savior. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that is our sheep. Element of salvation, the only way we can know the plan of salvation, what to do in order to be saved. Again, through the word of God and the sword. Plain and simple, the word of God is. Everything comes back to His Word that He's given to us, because this is the only way we can know about it. Any other truth that you don't find through the Scriptures is not true. It's not the truth that leads to salvation. It's not the truth that God has given to you so that you can be strong and be able to go and fight the good fight. Everything we need is right here for us. Just as if you're reading Corinthians today, the Lord is telling us, no one is tempted beyond what he is able to bear. But with each temptation that we are given, God provides an escape. And so as we think about that, as we go through temptation, we go through life and our trials, God has given us everything we need to overcome. Again, that's what we read there in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work, for every battle that you may face. So we have the weapons of warfare. We have the weapons we need in order to be victorious. And that sword, the Word of God, is sharp as a two-edged sword, able to pierce the soul. We have to put our trust into what God has given to us. Not going beyond it, not taking from it, but just obeying what God has given to us, using what He has given to us. We often we just get caught up saying, well, I think this would be a better way to go about it. Again, the best scenario for me, the walls of Jericho. Joshua and the men, the children of Israel, go to Jericho. God tells them, just walk around it. Seven times, blow the trumpet, shout. What's that going to do? I mean, all right, I remember, I don't think I watched too many VeggieTales stuff. I remember that they made one of these and that, you know, well, we got these catapults over here that can, you know, break walls, and we got this other stuff we can do to light them on fire, and that's weapons of warfare. That's what does destruction. That's what breaks down walls. That's the world today, and it's not that physical warfare that we're talking about, but they say, well, this is how we get people to come to church. Let's do these fun activities and games and invite people. Oh, no, let's just focus on stuff that makes people feel good, and let's stay away from other things. That's not what God's told us to do. That's not worshiping in spirit and truth. So we must do it the way God has instructed us to do it. Most have those weapons of war. Once we have enlisted into this army, then we must be willing to go and fight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will turn along with me, looking at verses 3 and 4, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Here's telling us we've enlisted, we're part of God's army, and so we have to be focused. We have to be on guard. We have to be watching and ready at all times. Because again, Satan is out there like a roaring lion. That's why I said be sober-minded at all times. Always prepared. Always on guard. Not allowing the distractions of the world to pull us in and entice us to give in to sin. Ephesians chapter 6, going back to that and reading the verses past what we have read, picking up verse 18, as we put on that armor, God says, praying at all times the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep altar with the perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me that the word may be given to me and opened in my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to. We put it on this armor of God and we continue to pray daily for the brethren and so that we may speak boldly as we ought to speak, because that is the battle that we're at. That is how we fight our battle today. As we go forth and we face all teachers, or we go forth with people who might test our faith and what we know of the truth, and may question why you have hope, that we use scriptures to show and guide them in the right direction, and to prepare us, to shield us from the false teachers. We must go and teach. Again, 1 Peter 3, verse 15 here, telling us to be ready to give an answer. 1 Peter 3, in verse 15, says, but in your hearts honor Christ, and they say, sanctify the Lord in your hearts. In your hearts honor Christ. The Lord as holy, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to give a defense, to give an answer. Always be wearing the armor of God, carrying your shield of faith, knowing what you can do with that sword. But that means we must always be studying it. We must always be checking ourselves, making sure there's no cracks in our shield, that it's not about to break, that it's not about to fall apart. So 2 Timothy 2:15 there will tell us to be diligent to present yourself unto God, checking on, continuously confirming the truth. Matthew 28:19, our Lord and Savior said, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that is what we have been sent to do. And as we go out, we're going to face enemies. We're going to face those who would try to test our faith, test our knowledge. And therefore, for the most part, as you go through Ephesians 6, a lot of things that go forth and talk about shielding yourself. Breastplate, shodding feet, helmet, shield. Don't forget that we also carry a sword and there are two goals on the offense so that we can help others find the truth and they also can be added into the Lord's army. I don't want to leave that as any of the Lord's invitation, because if you are not part of the Lord's army, then you will not be the case. And if you're not victorious, you won't enter into His kingdom. You won't receive that reward that is at the end. The reason we continue to fight to have that home in heaven, to receive that crown of life. But that is only to those who are faithful in His service. So if you're here and you need to be baptized, wash your sins away. If you're here and you need prayer for congregation, so you can gain your strength. If there's anything we can do, we let you know as we stand.
Why do you wait, dear brother?